Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Well, I'm really excited as we kick off our new series, Love the Lost, today. And I've asked a pastor friend of mine to join us. His name is Nate. He's originally from Cincinnati. So maybe the only downside is that he might also be a Bengals fan with us. Or is that an upside? Anyway, we're thrilled to have him. He's a father of two, a husband of one wife. Should I say that? And we're just thrilled that he's here. He pastors a church in South Carolina that's growing and thriving, and he loves to preach the message of Jesus and reach people far from the Lord. I know you're going to enjoy him. Please give a warm Vineyard Cincinnati welcome to Pastor Nate as he comes.
Yeah. Good morning, church. Come on, you grateful to be alive today? Anybody love Jesus? You grateful? Yeah. Hey, so good to be with you. And this is a good-looking crowd. Like, seriously, I don't know what y'all did, but matter of fact, look at the person next to you and tell them, you look good. Just tell them, yeah. Look back at them and tell them, I know I do. But I do want to welcome you today. If you are a first-time guest, welcome. I know that we're not just welcoming everybody who's live with us in person, but we're also welcoming those online. Also in this service, really cool, we have our Spanish and sign language translation as well. So let's just welcome everybody in today. No matter how you got here, we're grateful. Glad to have you. And I know I'm a guest in your house today, but I'll be honest with you, I really feel like I'm home. Born and raised here. A lot of my friends, family still live here. And I tell you that because I am a huge fan of any church in the Cincinnati area that is getting it done. I mean, that is making a difference for the name of Jesus, that's seeing lives being transformed, making their city better. And Vineyard, you are doing just that. And I think it's good every once in a while for an outside voice to come in and to remind you how unique this is. Because this is not happening everywhere. I mean, every single weekend you realize, like, you see people give their life to Christ, people are getting baptized, taking next steps, your outreach, the healing center is second to none. And I tell you that because I don't want you to treat something that's so extraordinary as something that's common and normal, that this is a vision to give to serve to be a part of. If you're grateful for your church right here, then you know what God is doing. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is unique and special. And I love being a part of it, and I know Jesus gets all the glory today. I don't think anybody's debating that, but aren't you grateful for a pastor like Pastor Rob, for his courage, his boldness, his faith to believe that the best is yet to come? Come on, if you love your pastor, his family, on Thanksgiving weekend, come on, let them know right here. Yeah, grateful. Telling you, he is a gift, and I've been really privileged over the last year. Your pastor and I, we've been a part of a discipleship group. That's how I met him. There's about seven of us from all over the country. We get together four or five times over the year. And let me tell you two things about Pastor Rob, and I just think this is so important, especially if you're a first-time guest, and maybe you're new to church, and I get it, the bigger the church, the more skeptical you might be. But let me tell you something about Rob. Two things. Number one, what you see on stage is what you get off stage. Like, he is the real deal. Loves the Lord, genuine faith. This is not some performance thing that he does, but he literally lives, breathes Jesus. He's the real deal. The second thing you need to know about Rob is he loves you. He loves you. Every time he talks about the Vineyard Church, I mean, his face lights up. He is thrilled of what God is doing right here. So, Vineyard, you got one of the good ones. You got a good one right there. He's a great man. Love him. So, if you got a Bible today, let's grab it. Did y'all bring your Bibles today? Anybody bring a Bible to church? Come on, waving in the air like you just do care. There you go. All right. If your Bible lights up like mine, it counts, okay? Log on to your Bible, check your fantasy, kickoff's in about an hour. Make sure you didn't start any Bengals. Too soon? Is it too soon? Okay, you know I'm preaching the truth though. Wow, this is like what not to do when you're a guest in someone's house, okay? And then let's meet up in Luke 19 today. Do what you gotta do, let's meet up in Luke 19. I get really an honor and a privilege to kick off week one of this series that's gonna lead you guys up to Christmas called Love the Lost. And I just think that this is so fitting. as we get ready in a couple weekends to come around really one of the most critical moments in human history. It didn't literally happen on December the 25th, just in case you were wondering, but yet we earmark that day as the day we celebrate the coming of Jesus, God in flesh here. And I love that we're gonna take some time to really talk about the main reason why Jesus came. Because believe it or not, Jesus did not come to this earth to set up organized religion. He didn't come here to create a new genre of music called worship music. And he didn't come just so we could have little Bible studies and holy huddles. Now, nothing is wrong with any of those things, but I don't want us to miss the point. He came on a search and rescue mission for you and me. Yeah, and today, we're gonna see this in a story of a familiar character named Zacchaeus in Luke 19. So if you're ready, say, let's go. If you need more time, say, hold up. Okay, we're ready. Maybe one or two. See, I preach in the South, and here's what I learned in the South. Like, they talk back to you. Like, they think this is interactive, so I don't mind. You can say amen. You can laugh. You can say, preach it, white boy. You can boo me. You can leave. I don't know. I just really think that preaching is a two-way street. Like, I promise I'm going to do my part, but I really do believe the level in which this word gets into the soil of your heart is dependent on your willingness to lean in. Okay, I can tell this is gonna be fun. Luke 19, verse 1, we meet this man named Zacchaeus. It says this: Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead. He climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, man, come on down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And so he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner? Wait a minute. But Zacchaeus stood up that night at the dinner party and he looked at the Lord and he said, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back 4 times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. Then here it is, church, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I want to speak to you today for the brief moments that we share from this subject. And if you like to take notes or open up your note app, I read an article that said people in church who take notes have a 75% chance of getting into heaven. It's not true, but it makes the preacher feel really good. So I wanna speak to you today from the subject, don't miss the point. Don't miss the point. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. God, we acknowledge that you're here. We don't need to invite you into a space where you're already here, Father, for you live inside of every single one of us who are followers of Christ. So God, what we just need is more awareness of the reality of who you are. God, this is what I love about you. You're not a one-size-fits-all God, but you are custom, you are tailor-fit, meaning you meet us right where we're at, but your love is so amazing, it doesn't leave us there. So Lord, I pray today that we walk away seeing Jesus, for if we do, we'll never be the same. And Lord, I know today Vineyard Church is getting ready for a 20-day fast, but we do pray that the Bengals will stop fasting from winning and make our city proud so Pastor Rob has to watch a Hallmark movie. That's all we ask. We love you, Lord. We pray this in your name. And everybody who agreed said, amen? Amen. 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 I don't know. I get all these like inside things. I'm like, okay. But have you ever, I'm sure this has happened to you. Has there been a moment in your life where you thought you knew the point only to find out later that that really wasn't the point at all? I don't know why I feel like I'm speaking to married couples right now, but how many of you are married? Come on, where are my married people at? Yeah, there we go. I've been married now for 13 years. Matter of fact, here's a picture of my family on the screen. They weren't able to join me, but this is my wife, Emily. I clearly outkicked my coverage, that's clear. My son in the front, his name is Shaw, he's 9. His wrestling name is Shawshank Redemption. His finishing move is the Shanker. We're big WWE fans. My oldest daughter in the back, Rosalie, AKA Rosie Rose, that's her street name. And then we adopted this beautiful little girl 2 years ago named Evie. And the only reason I tell you that detail that we adopted her is we're just huge advocates of adoption and fostering. And yeah, did you know that the month of November is Adoption and Foster Awareness Month? So man, if you adopt, if you foster, if you have a heart for that, man, well done. Way to make a difference in the life of a child. But this is my family. And Here's what I didn't realize 13 years ago on July the 29th, 2006, when I married my wife. What I didn't realize is that when you marry your spouse, you don't just get a spouse. How many of y'all know you marry the entire family? All right, just look at me like I'm not talking about your in-laws on the row next to you. I get it, right? But if you're single, you need to know this. Like, where are my single adults at? Come on, single adults. Yeah, hold your hand up. Now look around, look around. Hey, I'm trying to help you. Come on, I'm trying to work my pulpit for you. It's Christmas. But if you're single, here's what you need to know about marriage. You don't just get the spouse, you get the whole family with it. And see, I didn't realize this when I got married to my wife. I thought I was just getting her. And one of the things I didn't realize is that I married into a family of traditions. Like, y'all, they celebrate traditions for traditions. I mean, who celebrates Groundhog's Day and Flag Day? They do. Like, we're barbecuing for Columbus Day. It's like, what are we doing? So I'll never forget 2006. We just got married. We are getting ready Thanksgiving weekend to celebrate our very first Thanksgiving with her side of the family. Her side of the family always meets in Illinois where her grandparents live. They're still there. And we all get together. I'm meeting most of her extended family for the very first time. And we're driving up 75, no kids at this point. And my wife casually looks over at me and she says, hey, did I ever tell you that we have this tradition around Thanksgiving that before we eat the meal, we gather around the table and somebody reads the Thanksgiving story of when the pilgrims met the Indians? And I was like, wow, babe, that's really cool. She said, well, and all the cousins get dressed up as either pilgrims or Indians. You know where this is going? Uh-huh. And which I said, wow, that's really neat for you guys. It's gonna be fun holding the camera. And it kind of got quiet in the car, and she had this like bless his heart look on her face. Like, this fool has no idea what he just married into. And she said, no, I don't think you're picking up what I'm dropping. Like, my mom made you an Indian costume and you're gonna be an Indian. In which I said, heck no, I'm a grown man. You can't tell me what to do, all right? I mean, I'm not gonna dress up as Squanto the very first time I meet your family wearing a feather tomahawk and holding a plastic tomahawk. And so I want you single adults, burn this image of marriage in your head right here. There it is. Yeah. We compromised. Meaning I compromised and she got what she wanted. But it's true. How bad do you really want to get married? So we I see I didn't realize this, but when I married their daughter, apparently I signed some invisible document that said that until I replace myself with a child, I have to be in the Thanksgiving pageant every year. How many know we went home and we started making babies really quick? Hello. I didn't want to be a dad. I just didn't want to do that right there. But I'll never forget that though. We're driving up, we're literally having this argument, and I'm telling her I'm not gonna be an Indian. And she looked at me, and I'll never forget this. She said, Nate, that's not the point. Which I said, okay, what's the point? She said, you are part of this family. And then she said it, I'll never forget it, 13 years ago, don't miss the point. And I just wonder how many times in our lives have we too missed the point where we thought we knew the why, but only to discover that's not really the reason why it is that we're doing this. Don't miss the point. And I say all that, church, in light of Luke 19 with the story of Zacchaeus, because I wonder for those of us that follow Jesus in our attempts for spiritual growth, our desire for discipleship, deep teaching, Bible study, which all of that in and of itself is great. But I wonder for those of us that follow Jesus, the further and further removed we are from the moment we gave our life to Christ, I wonder if we are susceptible to missing the point. That we now begin to make everything about us and we begin to turn inward. When Jesus made it very clear, did you hear it at the very end? I'll read it to you. He said, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Don't miss the point. Can I give you the point today? As a matter of fact, if you don't get anything else, I want you to grab this right here. Here's the point. You ready? People need Jesus. That's the point. People need Jesus. Yeah. That's what I call the irreducible minimum. The irreducible minimum, it's the one thing in your life that you cannot live without. I'm telling you, if you could figure out the irreducible minimum for your marriage, for your parenting, for your career. It would give absolute clarity for the irreducible minute. It's when you strip everything else away, what's the one thing that matters the most? And I'd like to present to you today, week one of Love the Lost, that the irreducible minimum for all of humanity is people need Jesus. It's not that people need medicine or education or income or relationships. All those things are great and they have their place, but all of that is temporary. For what matters most is what's eternal. And heaven is real. Hell is real. And the good news today is that God saw us in our depravity, separated from him, and he sent Jesus, his one and only son, to bridge the gap, to do what you and I could not do, to do what religion could not do. And he went to a cross, and he died in my place, and he resurrected on the third day. And now when you give your life to Christ, here's what he does. He puts you on his back. He carries you to the cross, and he looks at the devil, and he says, whatever this is going to cost me, put it on my tab. Put their guilt on my tab. Put their shame on my tab. Put their condemnation on my tab. Put their past, present, and future sin on my tab. I'm going to pay it in full. Come on, if you're grateful for the grace of God, give him a praise right here. Woo! Yeah. I should have paid it. And I'm telling you, it's so easy. The more we grow in our faith, which I want you to do, to miss the point. Don't ever miss the point. And I think today, if we're gonna be a church that loves the lost, not missing the point, I think we can see a lot about how Jesus interacted with Zacchaeus. So I just wanna make a couple observations today. If you look back at verse 1, here's what Luke tells us about the account. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. I think that's just such a small detail, but definitely noteworthy. See that I'm grateful that even as Jesus is just passing through, he's always looking for people in his path. How many of you know that in every pass through of your life, God will put people in your path for you to make a difference in? See, I get it. I know you don't always plan to be in college. You're just passing through. I know you don't always plan to be in that neighborhood or that apartment complex. You're just passing through. I know you don't always plan to be at that job. You're just passing through. But how many of you know that in every pass through, God will put people in your path? And so here's this crowd, and he passes through everybody, and he goes to this one man. Look at verse 2. It says this right here. The story goes on. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd, so he ran on ahead of him, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming by. I think it's important for us just to take a minute and understand a little bit of the context around our character of investigation today, Zacchaeus. For Dr. Luke is giving us some really critical details to understand the fullness of this story. Luke is telling us that Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. What this tells us in ancient Judaism is that Zacchaeus was hated, feared, traitor, sellout. The reason we know this is because at this time period in history, Rome had infiltrated Israel. So the Roman Empire is now governing the nation of Israel. They were oppressing the Jews. And one of the ways that they funded this political operation and government oppression was that they would go and recruit local Jewish men to be tax collectors. And they say, all right, here's how this is gonna work. All right, you got a financial quota that you gotta meet at the end of the year, and that money belongs to Rome. But whatever else you wanna tax people, you wanna skim a little off the top, fill your pocket a little bit more. Hey, we Rome, we will look the other way. These dudes were crooked. They were sellouts. They were traitors. They were funding the political corruption that was murdering their sons, raping their daughters, and their own ethnic group was the ones funding this kind of operation. Oh, nobody liked tax collectors. This was the worst of the worst. But then Luke gives us this detail that when we meet Zacchaeus in Luke 19, he's not just a tax collector. He's a chief tax collector, which means he's worked his way up the corruption ladder. He's got people working for him. He's Denzel Washington in Training Day. He rolls up and people get nervous. They get feared. He's got minions working for him. Jericho, that's his block. That's his hood. That's his territory. And he gets word that this latest candidate for messiahship, Jesus, is gonna be passing by his territory. So sure enough, he goes to get a glimpse of who this guy is. Now, I don't know if this is true. This is Nate, me, my implications in the story. But I really believe that Zacchaeus had no intentions on getting saved. I think if you would have said, Zach, you need to be saved, he'd be like, what? From my money? From my big house? What do I need to be safe from? No, I think that Zacchaeus, realizing that Jesus brought a big crowd, realizing that this new Jesus is popular, and I bet if I could be seen with him, I could advance my career even faster. So sure enough, he runs because he's short in stature, climbs a tree just to get a look. And wouldn't you know it, Jesus just so happened to stop under his tree. Verse 5 says this, when Jesus reached the spot, notice what he did. He looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And so he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. The first observation I want to make, if we're going to really have a heart for what Jesus has a heart for, not missing the point. Number one, if you're a Christ follower, you've got to be willing to look up. We've got to be willing to look up. And I think that, and I wonder this about myself, that in this fast-paced busyness of life that we live, and I know you guys just came out of a phenomenal series called Simplify, where you talked about this, but I just wonder in our day-to-day, and I got to get to the weekend, and I got to get to the end of the month, and I got to get to the end of the year, and I got to pay these bills and raise these kids and work on this marriage. I just wonder, in the fast pace of life that we live, what is God trying to get us to see that we can't see because we're just simply looking down? See, I think if we're willing to look up, I can guarantee you, metaphorically speaking, there are people in your life who are climbing trees. What do I mean? I mean, there are people in your life who are looking for answers, who are searching for truth, who are tired of going to a well, drawing something that they think will satisfy them only for it to be temporary pleasure. I think there are people in your life, at your job, at your work, in your neighborhood, on your kid's sports team, who are leaning in sensitive to the gospel. We gotta be willing to look up. And this is where I think the church, Big C Church, has gotten this concept of evangelism all wrong. And see, maybe for you, this is why you haven't been to church in a really long time. Because Christians really misrepresent Jesus sometimes, and I'm guilty of that as well. See, I think sometimes we think as Jesus followers, well, it's my job to defend the word of God. I've got to defend the word of God. So I've got to, argue with people on Facebook. People who don't vote like me, act like me, have the same morals as me, because that works, right? I mean, after all, I'm defending the truth, so I've got to debate the agnostic at my job or the atheist, because I am defending God's word. Please hear me. Where in the Bible does it ever ask for us to defend the word of God? As if God needs my help. No, God never asks you to defend his word. He asks you to live it. I like to tell you that your greatest defense is in how you live your life, because the evidence and the proof of what you really believe, it's not in what you say, but rather it's in how you behave. Okay, I feel that right there. And so God's like, if you'll just stop worrying about these trivial debates that I've never asked you to get into that causes more damage for the gospel, actually, and instead focus your time on the Zacchaeuses who are climbing trees, people in my life who are desperately looking for answers, people in my life that God has already put me in a relationship with, but I've got to be willing to look up. And then notice what Jesus says as he looks at Zacchaeus, verse 5. He says, Zach, I must stay at your house today, so come on down at once. And he welcomed him gladly. The second observation I want to make, if we're going to love the lost, number two, is that you got to be willing to invite yourself into their world. Yeah, let that hit you for a minute. I mean, we're getting serious now. You really want to live an attractive life? You really want to make a difference for the gospel? Then you've got to be willing to invite yourself into their world, not expecting people to get into your world. Did you notice that Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and he's like, hey man, come on down. I need to go to your house. Yeah, your house. He doesn't look at him and say, hey Zach, come on down, man. Let me take you to a Bible study. Hey, why don't you get down out of that tree? We'll go to Chick-fil-A, get some Christian chicken. There's some guys there that are gonna do a prayer rally. We lay hands on each other. Like, I'm pretty sure Zacchaeus would have been like, nah man, I'm good. I don't want some dude's hand on me. Like, y'all do that. Now, what did he say? Hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your house. I want to eat at your table. I want to hang out with your friends. What's he doing? He's getting into his world. Yeah, if practically speaking, you know what this looks like? It means if your friend likes to fish, but you don't, it means you better go to Walmart get you a rod and a reel, watch you some YouTube videos, because you're going fishing. I mean, if what gets you into their world is they love NASCAR and they invite you to come over on a Sunday afternoon and watch NASCAR for 5 hours, a bunch of left turns for 500 miles, you better go order you the most redneck Kyle Busch t-shirt you can find, because you just became a NASCAR fan. If they like to exercise and run, but your idea of exercise is running to the fridge and back to the couch, your heart will thank you later. Get you some shoes, because you're going running. Do you see this? We've got to be willing to invite ourselves into their world, not expecting people to get in our world. And I feel like I just need to do a Zach Morris timeout for just a quick second, because there's always that one person here that's like, well, my friend likes to go to the strip club, so Pastor said that I gotta, listen, that is not what I'm saying, all right? I'm not telling you to do something immoral, something that compromises your values. What I am saying is that it's time for us to get into their life. And Jesus shows up, and at this meal, because he got into his world, watch this, everything changed in the moment. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up, he's at the dinner party now, and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now. And there's no doubt some of Zacchaeus' minions were there at the table, some of the people that worked for him. No doubt this house is filled. And he declares this statement in front of everybody. Here and now, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Are you reading what I'm reading? Do you see this? I mean, what in the world happened that night at that dinner? I mean, Zacchaeus has spent the better part of his life building an industry of corruption. The better part of his life being hated by people, feared by people. He's crooked. He's wicked. He spent the better part of his life getting wealthy off the backs of other people's oppression, cheating people, robbing people, loved by no one. And you mean to tell me at one dinner over fish and rice, this dude went from rich to broke just like that? What happened, church, at that meal? Can I tell you what happened, even though we don't know the dialogue? It was the very first time Zacchaeus came face to face with the creator of the world. For the very first time, staring back at him was the God who uniquely created him in his mother's womb. The God that had a purpose for him, and the God that wanted him to be a part of something bigger than what he was doing. For the very first time, staring back at him was not judgment, but love. It wasn't hatred, but acceptance. It wasn't condemnation, but it was grace. And I believe today that no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, how far from God you might feel, what addiction you're struggling with, nobody is too far removed from the grace of God. And the moment you see Jesus for who he really is, everything in your life can begin to change. Things inside of you that were dead can come back to life at the name of Jesus. Years and years of bitterness and anger and resentment can find resolve at the name of Jesus. A life of no purpose and meaning can find healing and completion at the name of Jesus. Does anybody believe that Jesus still changes lives? Come on, do you believe it for your city, for your family? For your son, your daughter, your husband, you never know when that moment's gonna be, when somebody sees Jesus for who he is. Zacchaeus is like, wow, I can't go back to that. Right now, God, right now, I'll walk away from it all just to follow you. Man, don't miss the point. We gotta be willing to look up, and we gotta be willing to get ourselves into their world, and life change can take place. What's really powerful about this story is the name Zacchaeus, did you know? His name means pure, innocent, righteous. That tells me for so long he was wearing a reputation that did not fit who he really was. He was wearing a weight that did not fit his name. And I just wonder if maybe that's where you're at today. That there are some of you here today that you've been called worthless, no good, ugly, stupid, deadbeat, just like your daddy, you're just like your mama, addict, less than. And you know what I know? You can only be called that for so long till you actually start to believe that maybe that's who I am. And I just feel it today, church, that there's some of you that you are wearing a name that does not fit what God has called you to be. Because last time I checked, the only way that you get legal naming rights to something is if you birthed it or you bought it. Meaning you cannot name a company that you didn't start or you didn't buy. Just like you can't name a child that you didn't birth or that you didn't adopt. For the only thing that gives somebody legal naming rights is if they birthed it or they bought it. That's why I can stand on this stage upon the authority of God's word, and I can declare to you that Jesus is the only one who is authorized to have spiritual naming rights over your life, because he bought you. He purchased you back from the grip of sin and death, and it's by his stripes we are healed. And my Bible tells me that I'm chosen, that I'm holy, that I'm righteous, that I'm complete, lacking nothing. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath, that I have everything I need in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. Woo. Maybe today's the day that you stop living by a title that doesn't fit who you are anymore. Jesus is the one that has authority to identify us, because he bought us from the grip of sin and death. And you know what's powerful? Is that the only thing that Zacchaeus did in this story, have you noticed this? The only thing he did was he said yes. That's it. He said, all right, I'll get out of this tree and you can come to my house. This is the good news today. I think that some of you came today maybe just to make a family member happy. It's Thanksgiving weekend, I'll go to church. But maybe God has you here for something more than just checking a box. I believe today that Jesus is stopping underneath your tree and he is looking up and he is calling you by name and he's calling you to come down. He's not calling you to come down to judge you, to condemn you, to point out all the flaws, but rather he's calling you down today to say, can I come to your house? Can I have a relationship with you? And all we have to do is be willing to say yes. This is the power of grace. It changes in a moment. Paul says in Romans that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That if you believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the grave and you confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. So I just wonder today, maybe this is the moment for you where everything begins to change as you start a relationship with Jesus. So I want to pray for you. Can I do that? All across this room with every eye closed and head bowed. And what I love about this prayer is I'm going to ask you as a church congregation to repeat this back to me. And what I love about doing that is it's really going to encourage those who are praying it for the first time. For those of us like myself who are a Jesus follower, this is an opportunity for you to reaffirm the faith that you have. So would you just simply repeat this as a church after me? Jesus, today, I acknowledge that my sin has separated me from you. But because of Jesus, his death on the cross, resurrection from the grave, he has bridged the gap. So right now, Lord, I place my faith in you. Come in me, and I exchange my old self for my new identity in you. Today is my day. And Father God, I'm so grateful for everybody who's praying that for the first time. And Lord, in this moment, I pray for those of us that are followers of Jesus, but we've been carrying around a heaviness. Father, a weight that doesn't fit who we are. And God, sometimes we get hurt by people in our lives and we allow them to define really who we are. But the truth is they didn't birth us and they didn't buy us spiritually. So God, you're the only one that gets spiritual naming rights. And so Lord, I pray right now in this moment that whatever we walked in with, whatever guilt and condemnation or label that we've been wearing, God, that we leave here walking in the freedom that we have in you. God, allowing you to call us who we are and living out that reality every single day. We are so grateful, Jesus, for what you've done. Father, we give this to you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Man, can we celebrate those that have prayed that today for the first time? Let's celebrate them, can we? Yeah. You know what I love about this church is when we're done here in a moment, if you go to one of the welcome centers, they have a gift for you if you prayed the yes prayer for the first time. It's a Bible, and I promise there's no tracking device in it. Nobody's showing up to your house during the game. It's just a way to get you started in your faith journey. Also today, if you'd like to receive communion as an act of worship, that will be down front, both here and up in the balcony, along with the prayer team. And if not, you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday for part two. Thanks, church.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.